This is Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR. This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.
A very good afternoon and welcome to Sports Talk 870. I'm your host, Earl Robinson. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock discussing sports with you. So just give us a call at 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. Our email address, sportstalk@wkar.org. Very glad to be with you today, and very glad because I'm I haven't talked to Jared Bell in a long, long time, so it is nice, I guess, to get reacquainted with him and talk with him again. And Jared's been, he's a Michigan State grad and has been a longtime writer for NFL at USA Today. So let's bring in our good friend Jared Bell. Jared, how you doing, buddy?
Pretty good. What's going on?
Hey, just hanging in there. I'm glad to talk with you. I know we hadn't talked in a long time, so it's definitely good to reconnect with you again and talk a little bit of NFL football. I know you've been pretty busy this offseason. It's one of those rare offseasons. I mean, boy, you've had the Saints situation. It looks like, do you think it's finally settled with the extensions or with all the probations being upheld by Commissioner Goodell, or could we see something else?
Well, I think we're going to see some kind of discipline on, the players involved. And, you know, when the league first announced this bounty scandal and its findings a few weeks ago, they said there were between 22 and 27 players involved. They're not going to be 22 to 27 suspensions
right
with players, but probably you're thinking that they're going to be a handful, maybe three, four guys. That number's been hard. It's been a moving target, but I think everybody is expecting something to come down regarding Jonathan Vilma, the middle linebacker who supposedly offered $10,000 as a bounty on Brett Favre, and the players' union is involved, and so it's been a bit delayed in terms of the discipline. But there's another shoe to drop on this thing. But I think the suspensions of Sean Payton and the GM Mickey Loomis and Joe Vitt and, of course, Greg Williams being banned at least for a year, maybe longer. I think that's going to be the meat of this thing.
Yes, with the players, and I assume there's going to be some suspensions from the players that were involved. But with 22 players, you're right. I can't see them suspending all 22 players.
They're going to go after, like, the – I think, you know, Vilma was a team captain, probably still is officially, but I think they're looking at the players who were kind of the main instigators of this deal. And like I said, Vilma's a guy that we've heard his name out, and there's a couple others too. So we'll see. Like I said, I think it might be maybe three or four. I'd say four might be the over-under line.
Do you think they'd let them serve the exhibition games as part of that? Part of that agreement, or do you think it'll just be a regular season?
No, they don't do the exhibition games, not at all, because you know how it goes in preseason. You know, guys don't really want to play anyway,
right?
And you're trying to preserve people for the regular season. So no, these will be regular season suspensions if it comes to that.
Gee, that'll be something.
With pay,
without pay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Boy, this is really could cripple the Saints this year. I mean, at least for a few games. It's interesting to see once it's settled, and if Bill Parcells, I guess it's still be decided whether Parcells is going to be the interim coach or not, too.
I just got an email from him about a half hour ago, Earl, and he said that he is staying retired.
Oh, okay.
So scratch Bill Parcells from the equation with the Saints. And, you know, Parcells has had a pretty close relationship with Sean Payton for many years, because remember Payton was on Parcells' staff with the Cowboys. And since Payton's been at the Saints, I mean, you know, Parcells has been like a father figure to him really for a long time. And when Payton was running the Saints, he, repeatedly called Parcells and just really kept a real close dialogue with him and bounced a lot of ideas off of him and things like that. So when this whole thing went down with Payton getting suspended, they met a couple of weeks ago. And, you know, at that time, Parcells, I think he was interested to see how he felt about things and to kind of get a a sense of what the picture was. And then at the same time, as he told me, he was just there for Sean Payton as a friend going through this crisis. So whatever expertise or advice or consultation or whatever you want to categorize, whatever he could offer Sean Payton going through all of this, he was willing to do that too, without ruling out the possibility of coming and coaching for a year. But as it stands now, he's not going to be in the picture with the Saints.
That's the one thing, you know, we've heard so much about, you know, this suspension. Do you think there are any other teams out there that they may hold up or may get caught, or is this just going to be a one-time thing and they're just going to make an example out of the Saints?
Yeah, I think it's the latter, an example out of the Saints. You know, and I asked Roger Goodell about it a couple of weeks ago when we were in Florida at the NFL meetings, and I said, you know, what if you find stuff with some of these other teams, especially the teams that Greg Williams used to coach with? And, you know, going back to 2000, like Tony Dungy, right when the Bounty thing surfaced, Tony Dungy said, I know they had a Bounty system in Tennessee back in 2000 when we played against them, and Greg Williams was an assistant with the Titans at the time. And then since then, Greg Williams went on to Buffalo as head coach. He went to Washington as a D coordinator and then to the Saints. So throughout all of this, I know here in Washington, like the Washington Post did several stories, like right after the Saints story broke, talking to, I want to say at least six, maybe as many as eight or nine former Redskins who said that they had a bounty system. And it just really seems kind of odd that the NFL didn't really follow up on that and kind of slam the Redskins a little bit and really kind of dig into that. And it just seems like it's died. Now, the league publicly has said, oh, yeah, if we hear anything, we'll still follow up on it. But, I mean, you had these cases of these Redskins who didn't identify themselves, but still in all, you know, went to the newspaper and said this was happening here. Matt Bowen's a guy who did identify himself, the former safety for the Redskins, and said there was a bounty system. But the league hasn't really followed up on it. And when I asked Goodell about it a couple of weeks ago, Earl, he said, you know, we've got to be realistic and practical about how we follow up on this, because a lot of these cases where you're talking about teams where Greg Williams used to coach, the people involved are no longer there, especially the players. So it didn't seem at that point when I was talking to Goodell a couple of weeks ago that he was inclined to really go after some of these former Greg Williams teams. Now, in terms of teams in the league now and what they may be doing, the commissioner has made every team owner and GM and coach kind of sign off some kind of document saying they don't have a bounty system. And then all the other incentive programs that were going on, there's been a lot of that where, you know, guys will have a pool and, you know, whoever gets the big sack or the big interception will collect the pool. They call it mad. Some people call it mad money. They call it different things at different places. But a lot of teams kind of had these little kiddies going on where, you know, money would be put in there against not counting against the salary cap. And, you know, a guy could get a few $100 every week if he made, you know, some big plays or a big play or something like that. So the league has outlawed that. So that's one of the things. It's not a big thing in terms of bounties, but that's where you can kind of see where the line gets blurred, okay? So if you got a cash pot going for sacks and interceptions and fumbles, well, who's to say you can't add, you know, knocking a quarterback out of the game in that same pot? So I think that's why the league outlawed that, just so that there's a real clear definition of money being involved in playing for some of these incentive things.
Yes. Did the commissioner talk about why it took him so long, 3 years, or was that part of it because, you know, because so people are moving around and he couldn't get everything whole right away? Or why did he say why it took so long?
I didn't talk to him about why it took 3 years, but I talked to other people in the course of this story. And what I was able to learn from that, Earl, is that the league found some things with the Saints a couple, 3 years ago, right? Mm-hmm. But they really couldn't nail it down, and they didn't have all the evidence that they needed. And then someone in the league's investigation basically died, and the league went to the Saints and said, hey, if you're doing this, don't do it, la-da-da. And there was nothing else there for the league to pursue because they didn't have the evidence. They didn't have people stepping forward. And apparently someone went back to the league within the past year or so and kind of spilled the beans. And when they did that, the league went back to the Saints, and they went to the Saints owner, Tom Benson. And this is where the deal really got cracked. Tom Benson allowed the NFL and its investigators to have access to the New Orleans Saints email system, its whole electronic computer internal system, if you will. And that's where the league was able to go back and review and apparently find some things that kind of corroborated the whole idea that they had a bounty system. Now, how much that the league was able to uncover by going through all of the Saints emails, I'm not sure how much they have, but they have something. And some people tell me they don't have very much at all. Some people say that it's just kind of a couple comments that were made in jest that they have. But somewhere along the line, the league feels like it has, you know, collected enough evidence to of course, lead to all these suspensions and whatnot.
Well, you know, I talk with our friend here who coaches at Michigan State, Holland Barnett. I talk with him about did they have a bounty system or such when they played. He said, no, they didn't have a bounty system. He says, but they did, like you said, they put that, they put some money in a hat, and whoever got the biggest hit or whoever got a big interception during a game, they did things like that. So this goes back a long, long time, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, no question at all. In fact, somebody told me that Eddie DeBartolo, the 49ers former owner, used to come into the locker room after games with money in paper bags and give it to players. So, that's an interesting thing, too, when you start talking about this salary cap era where everything is supposed to be managed and,
yes,
equal in terms of, what resources people can give the players, et cetera. And so, yeah, in the grand scheme of things, these small kiddies, just a drop in a bucket when you're talking about $123 million salary cap or whatever it is. But still in all, that's kind of part of the equation that you have to account for.
Okay. Well, let's move on to Peyton Manning. I mean, he was the big fish in the free agent market. He went to Denver. Were you surprised that he ended up in Denver?
You know what? At the end, I wasn't surprised. Mm-hmm. This thing kind of drew out for a couple weeks, obviously. But I think going into this thing, everybody thought the Miami Dolphins were going to be the favorite. And I think part of the reason was that you knew the Dolphins were going to really come hard with their owner, Stephen Ross, and make a big money deal for Peyton. And the Broncos made a pretty big deal with him, too, because he's got over $20 million a year in salary. And, he's the highest paid player in the league for average salary. So depending on whether or not he plays out the contract or not, how that goes. But still, he's got a major big-time contract that, pretty much replaces what he had in Indianapolis. The way this thing went down, and I went out there for a few days, right when he signed, it became apparent to me that the connection between Peyton Manning and John Elway was really what sealed this deal. And so when you've got – and Peyton told me, he said, these different places that I went, there's a lot to like about all of them. And he said one of the things that he really, connected with some of these different teams was the former players who were in charge at these different teams. And that would be, Jim Harbaugh as the coach of the 49ers and Ken Whisenhunt with the Cardinals and Mike Muntak with the Titans. But Elway was another one that he really connected to. And I think when you start thinking about it, on that level, you say, oh, yeah, that makes perfect sense because, there's only so many people who could relate like John Elway and Peyton Manning can to themselves as great quarterbacks. And when you start talking about, building a team and supporting a quarterback and protecting them, that was one of the things Peyton said. He really liked what he heard from Mike Munchak in Tennessee, the former lineman who's the head coach, because he was really selling him on the idea of how I'm going to protect you, right? And so when you think about Denver and Elway, yeah, that's one. But, if it was me, when it came down to the end, Earl, I almost thought the 49ers were a better team for them because, they had the championship game at home.
Yeah.
And they are stocked, man. Mm-hmm. And you put Peyton Manning in there, and you look at what they've done in free agency, upgrading the wide receiver core, including Randy Moss. I thought – San Francisco was the best place for somebody to go and try to win a Super Bowl immediately.
But he likes
Denver, and, you know, Denver is a special place. And it might be a thing, too, where it feels right to him. And he did talk about that as well. You know, Peyton came from a small market, flourished in Indianapolis for so long. You know, Denver probably reminds him a little bit of that type of market where, you know, it's rabbit football. Probably, yeah, but definitely more rabbit football than even in Indianapolis, which he helped make that into football rabbit. But, yeah, I think the comfort zone for him in Denver was pretty appealing.
21 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock, give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527, toll-free, 877-9527-870. Hey, Jared, can we keep you for a few more minutes? We got to take a short break here.
Okay, cool.
Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break on AM 870 WKAR.
The peace plan for Syria all but collapsed. Bashar al-Assad's government ignores a deadline to pull back troops and issues new demands. Human rights groups report civilians executed in public. Violence spills into neighboring countries. I'm Neil Conan. What's next in Syria? Plus, 100 years after the Titanic, explorer Bob Ballard joins us. Next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 2 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
A chance of rain and snow today and tonight. Mostly cloudy and windy with a high in the mid-40s today and cloudy with a low of 30 tonight. Mostly sunny Wednesday, the high in the upper 40s. Sunny with some frost Thursday morning, Thursday's high 56. I'm Scott Pohl.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527 or toll-free, 877-9527-870. Our email address, sportstalk@wkar.org. And, when you hear about these things, I guess it's not surprising anymore with Warren Sapp now declaring bankruptcy. You hear more and more players, you'd think they start taking classes themselves, they get better representation, or they just learn how to spend their money better. We heard that about Warren Sapp with all these that he sent, and boy, that's a difficult situation, isn't it, as a former player being in like a Warren Sapp is in.
There he is.
Okay. Yeah. I was just asking you, Jared, about Warren Sapp. I mean, we've heard players having financial situations, and I guess it never comes as a surprise anymore. So many players just don't know how to manage money and spend their money. They're always relying on other people, which is unfortunate. They never learned or took classes when they were in college to learn how to manage their own money.
Yeah, it's tough. I did a big series on this a couple years ago, and you're right, it's just too many cases like this. I mean, you hear it with other people who win lotteries, lose money a lot, and entertainers, people that make money fast. I think part of it is that, when you go from not making any money or very little money to mega millions, if you will, I mean, it happens so fast, and it can be very complicated, just the whole tax implications and everything like that, and investments, and then other things in terms of lifestyle factor into it, too. And I know the average person probably can sit back and hear that and say, well, God, somebody gives me $1 million. I figure it out that, okay,
right,
I'm going to have to give half to Uncle Sam and then, deal with the rest. But, you hear so many of these cases like this, and you just wonder, why or how it happens. And I remember talking to people with the Players Association about it, and, they're there to try to help the players, and they're just as exasperated as anybody because they put these financial seminars together on people, for the players. And they say, the people who come are really the people who don't need to come. So they have all these programs, and the people that don't take advantage of them are the ones that fall into problems. And, the thing I want to emphasize, though, it's a lot of different situations that will get a lot of these players, and not all of these players are, fast living. There's definitely some of that, a lot of that, but some of them, it's just bad investments, or like you said, will you trust other people with your money, and then it's too late when you find out that they didn't know what they were doing, and then they, you know, had your money at risk, and the market tumbled or the real estate deal went bad. Remember Luther Ellis, who played for the Lions?
Yes.
You know, he lost tens of millions of dollars, and he was, you know, not a fast-living guy. I mean, he was a good guy, adopted kids, and tried to do stuff in the community, and ended up investing with some people that, you know, made him kind of hold the bag to about three or four deals, and they all didn't work. You know, so you hear a lot of cases like this. In Sapp's case, I haven't talked to him since the news came out about his bankruptcy. I know he's going through a divorce situation, too. But it is just sad because you figure when you've got millions, you've got to be able to make it work to the point that you don't, you know, lose it all or have to really – you know, bite the bullet and you know, end up broke. So, I just say it's another, you know, unfortunate situation.
Okay, we got a question for you. We got a caller for you. William from Flint has a question for you about the Saints. William, how you doing?
Good. Earl, this is William Jones from your old solid Western buddy. Years ago.
Okay.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask a question. Don't you think the Saints went a bit far with the year-long suspension of Payton? I'm not a Saints fan, but I think that's a case of doing a little too much to show other players or coaches that the NFL means business. But I think it's a little too much in far as giving someone in a situation where they lose their income for that period of time.
Yeah, like $7.5 million the income. That's what it's going to cost Sean Payton. I think that's a great question. I really do, because I've wondered about that too. When this whole thing went down and we heard that Greg Williams was the one that was really running this program as opposed to Sean Payton, you knew Greg Williams was going to get slammed. But I thought maybe Sean Payton would get like six games or something because it happened under his watch. And the thing that happened in New Orleans, the way Sean Payton ran it, he let Greg Williams run the defense, ran his meetings, never went to the meetings on the defensive side. So his defense was always, I didn't know what was going on. But when the league, see, here's what really got him, though. When the league went to him and said, hey, we know this is going on, you got to stop it. He and the GM, and they didn't stop it. So then your excuse of, well, this goes on in the defensive meetings and I didn't have anything to do with it, it doesn't wash once they tell you we've got this. Remember, this thing was going on for 3 years and they pretty much the investigation stalled and then they went back. So that was the thing I think that really got Sean Payton the suspension he got, in addition to the fact that Goodell said that Payton and Mickey Loomis lied to him. You know, they denied that it was going on, or they went back and said, oh, we did tell them, and then the league found out that they didn't, and then they tried to coach the coaches on what to say to the NFL investigators. So it was the cover-up part of it that I think really got Sean Payton, as opposed to him actually being the one running the bounty. And then there's a couple other things, too. You know, Sean Payton, I think he kind of ticked off some people in the league headquarters a couple years ago at the Super Bowl when they just blatantly blew off the NFL's media access window and showed up like an hour late or whatever. League doesn't like that. And then there was that situation a couple years ago where there was some painkiller drugs that came up missing with the Saints, and there was a big mess about that. Now, I don't know. The league has never said that that was related to this and to the penalty or anything, but when you start thinking about some of the differences that Sean Payton and some of the sticky situations he's been in with the league office, they were not going to cut him any slack.
Okay. Hey, before we let you go, we got to talk about those Lions. You know, one of the teams that are making a nice comeback. People around here are pretty excited about them. What can you say about the Lions? I mean, it looks like they've turned things around. They've got their best player signed to long-term deals. It looks like things are headed up. The Lions are definitely should be in very good shape right now.
Yeah, you know, these off-season stories the past couple of weeks hadn't been too encouraging with these off-the-field arrests.
Yes.
So they got to make sure that they're, you know, they're staying on course. And I think, you know, last year with all the fines and on-the-field stuff that happened, you know, Jim Schwartz got a lot of criticism. Hey, are you losing control of this team? Is this team undisciplined? And now you see these things in the offseason. So that's going to be something to really kind of, you know, heighten the scrutiny on them as they get better and the expectations grow, just to see if they can stay composed and disciplined. And I know when I talk to Schwartz and the Lions people, they say, hey, yeah, we had some stuff that happened on the field with some of the fights and stuff like that, but most of the time we were a pretty disciplined team. So we got to see how that goes. But in terms of what you're saying, how they're set up for the future, it's great. And you saw Matt Stafford stay healthy for a year. Oh, yeah. My goodness. Look what they got there.
Yes.
This salary cap thing, how they manage that is going to be really crucial, because Matt Stafford, you mentioned Calvin Johnson got the new contract, and Ndamukong Suh, Stafford, Megatron, and Cliff Averill, the franchise player. I mean, those guys are going to eat up like 50 to 55, maybe even more, of their salary cap. That's just enormous, okay? That's like half the cap. So they've got to restructure some of these deals with some of these other players. And I know they restructured some stuff with Sue and Stafford really before they went into this league year when they got Calvin Johnson done, just to give themselves some room. So they've got some real serious salary cap issues to keep it all intact. I mean, they'll keep it all intact right now, but I'm just talking about going forward next couple, 3 years. They've got to do some maneuvering. Now, the cap's going to go up. Not next year. It's going to pretty much be flat next year. Mm. So you're really talking about another couple 3 years before the cap really goes up a lot. So they're going to have to do some managing within to get that, to keep their guys and then get whatever else they need.
Hey, will you ever see do you think you'll ever see maybe free agency in football? Because it just seems like, I know they've had chances to get free agency and they never took advantage of those. So do you think we'll ever see a free agency in the NFL?
Well, we have it, but I know what you're saying, that it just seems like you don't always have it, because when you can put a franchise tag on a Cliff Averill, and you know you can kind of keep your guys if you can fit them under the salary cap. So, I mean, yeah, it is free agency as best as they've had it in a long time. Well, as best as they've had it ever, really, in the NFL, but you still have those exceptions. So I don't think that's going to change much, because we got a 10-year CBA now. Okay, so one of the things that happened last year with the whole lockout, you know, there was talk about changing free agency rules, and the players have always hated the franchise tag thing.
Yes,
and
yes.
That the owners would not give that up. Okay, that was something that they talked about early on in the CBA talks, and the owners said, hey, no, we got to at least have the opportunity to keep some of these marquee guys in-house. And so that's why you say, yeah, you don't have total free agency for 100% of the players. But I don't think the system's going to change anytime soon, because, like I said, we got a 10-year CBA. So, you know, check back in the year 2020, yeah. 2022 or whatever.
Yeah, because the owners got them again. Because I know you heard or you read about that situation with free agency, how now – what it used to be like with New Orleans Saints quarterback, he should have gotten $16 million, and they've been able to cut $2 million off of it just because of how they structured the CBA to be taking off, you know, the last
the franchise. Yeah. The franchise tag is, and that's really got a lot of players ticked off, obviously.
Yes.
You know, who are in that situation, and Drew Brees is the poster child for this, right? Because if he had been under the previous system, yeah, he would have made, you know, over, I think, $18 million or something like that with his franchise number. So that's been part. That's part of the thing. They still don't have him re-signed. He hadn't signed a tender, so they got to try to work that out. But you know, yeah, they changed that. Yeah, check mark for the owners on that one, because they got the number to go down. And the players, I think, at what position? The players at the running back position.
Yes.
Slow down. I think those are the guys who are really feeling the effects of this switch, because the money for running backs really went down as significant as any position.
Boy, that's tough. Hey, Jared, I want to thank you for joining me. Always a pleasure talking with you, my friend. And, you know, I'll be calling you again, especially when we get closer to this. Well, actually, with the draft, it'll be interesting to see where the Michigan State players go in the draft.
Yep.
I always love it when I read the draft and they say, well, this guy's projected going the second round or the first bottom part of the first round, and they end up going third or fourth round.
So, yeah. Hey, I had dinner at the owners' meeting a couple of weeks ago with the Steelers coach Mike Tomlin and the owner Art Rooney and his father Dan, And the first thing Mike Tomlin says to me when I walk in the room is, "What's up with your Spartans?" and this is during the NCAA basketball tournament, right? So he's giving me grief about that. But he had come up there for pro day. But the thing that I wanted to say that he mentioned to me on the way out basically was say, "Hey, I like that Kirk Cousins guy," right? Mm-hmm. He likes Worthy too, but he really likes Kirk Cousins. He says there's something about him as a quarterback and the leadership, and he really saw how the players responded to him when he was up there for pro day. He really was impressed with him. So I think when you start talking about quarterbacks, obviously we got the two at the top of the draft. You know, Kirk Cousins is going to be a guy in, within the first couple of days, and really might end up being a good steal for somebody in this draft.
Oh, that's good. Hey, Jared, I want to thank you for being with me, my friend. And, hey, I will call you again, and we'll get you have you back on real soon, buddy.
Cool. Okay, man. Have a good one, Earl.
You too. Yep, bye-bye. Bye. And that's Jared Bell from USA Today talking sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. 36 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock, and we're going to be here for the rest of the day. We're going to talk, some baseball and some basketball, some NHL playoff hockey. We'll be covering a lot of things right here on AM 870 WKAR. As you know, this is our week. We're trying to raise money for WKAR. And let me tell you where we are on our total on-air dollars right now, $31,032 raised, $8,092 on the web. Total pledges, 118 total pledges. I want to thank all of you who called in and pledged your support to WKAR, and 22 new members. And we always need new members because we know there's a lot of you out there who listen to WKAR and have never pledged before. So we want to thank you all for pledging. And if you haven't pledged before, give us a call right now at 355-9527 or 3,000, or give us a call at 432-9527, either one, and pledge your support to WKAR. Because we know that many of you listen every day, and I've been talking to several people that say, yeah, we listen, but they haven't given up a pledge yet. And that's what we need you to do. Call in and make a pledge right here on WKAR. Now we've got our good friend Aaron Young on this side of the fence today. And Aaron, what can you tell people to make them give a pledge to WKAR?
Well, it's pretty simple. You just call in. WKAR offers a lot of great programming on the radio side and obviously on the TV side as well. So, shows like this, with your pledge and your continued support, they continue on. And that's what public radio is. We need that. And it's kind of a little family friendship. You know, you're kind of tied into the show because you're the one supporting the station here at WKAR. So it's kind of, in a sense, your own station, that's how it is here. That's how it is at public radio. So without the support, WKAR can't continue. So, we've been going strong. So hopefully it continues. And like you said, if you haven't pledged before, we encourage you to do so. And hopefully, you like the program. If you do like the programming, we encourage you to pledge as much or as little as you can. We know it's tough times, but every little bit helps.
It is, and it's up to you what you can afford to give. But we hope that you can give something. We know a lot of people pledge to give to so many different organizations out there. We know that's they pledge for a variety of reasons for other organizations, and we just like, hopefully you'll put us in that category as being one of the organizations that you pledge and give us some money to support, because we're with you 365 days a year. We're here with you each and every day. Hopefully that means something to you. Hopefully the news means something, or the classical music means something, or the sports programming. But hopefully whatever the programming that you like here on WKAR, we have something here for you. And it's very important that we try to be all things to all people. So if you love the programming at WKAR, show us your support, how much you appreciate what we do here at WKAR. 353-5000 or 432-9527. Give us a call. pledge and talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. And Colin, I would always say, Colin, pledge, if you've been listening to the sports program for a long time, Colin, make your pledge for the sports. You just ask to put the pledge on down on our sports page on the sports just program sheet, and they'll put it down for you and tell that, hey, you made this pledge in honor of the sports programming. So do that. The time, 40 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break right here on AM 870 WKAR.
One Pennsylvania teacher fired for posting on her blog that students acted like rude, disengaged, lazy whiners. Another, a teacher of the year in Florida, suspended after writing on Facebook that gay marriage is a sin. I'm Neil Conan. Public servants, private lives, the rights and responsibilities of teachers. Next, Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 3 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
This is Scott Pohl. Thank you for joining us. Today will be windy and mostly cloudy. There's a chance of rain and snow today and tonight. The high today, 45, the overnight low, 30. The high tomorrow, 48. It'll be mostly sunny Wednesday. Thursday will be sunny with some morning frost and a high in the mid-50s.
And give us a call. Our lines are open. 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. Our email address, sportstalk@wkar.org. If you want to give us a pledge here at WKAR, give us a call at 353-5000 or 432-9527. Just call either number if you'd like to pledge your support for WKAR. We would thank all of you, each and every one of you out there, if you pledge and call in and pledge your support to WKAR. It's greatly appreciated. We come your way Monday through Friday right here on the AM side on AM 870 Sports Talk. And, you can give us whatever you like. We certainly will appreciate it right here on WKAR. But hopefully you pledge because you love our programming here at WKAR. And we try to give some reason for you to listen to. So whether you like classical music, or whether you like the news programming, or whether you like the sports programming, or some of our other programs here at National Public Radio, that you love those and that's part of your daily routine, and we hope that you've made it part of your daily routine, and hopefully you like us and everything that we do here. That's good. We thank for you. And so anyway, thank you for calling and listening, and we'll also tell you a little bit more about us here at WKAR as we come your way each and every day, Monday through Friday from 1:05 to 2 o'clock. And Aaron, you know, we've been telling people all week long in these 2 days that, you know, we appreciate all the people that come our way, and we appreciate you if you've given money to us at WKAR, and we want that, and we need that to continue our long range programming. So if you just give once and give today, yes, you can give it again, or you can do it again at another time, but we really need your help. Anyone out there that listen to WKAR and been listening for a long time. Many of you, that's the one thing we like, Aaron. So many people have been listening for such a long time. We really have a strong band of followers who really love WKAR. So if you're one of those longtime listeners but have never given to us before, we appreciate if you take the time to right now and become one of those members who have been listening and give us a pledge. Because that's the thing I found out over the time. There's a lot of listeners out there, a ton of listeners out there that have never given a pledge before. So we're trying to get hold of you, trying to get you to become one of the members of the WKAR family. So, Aaron, we'll just have to keep shooting, and hopefully some of those people will get weakened or they'll get a little weak, and, they'll decide, hey, I want to become a member of the WKAR family.
Yeah, absolutely. I know my parents are. I kind of grew up in WKAR more on the TV side than radio, but radio reaches a lot of listeners, as does the TV side. So, like you said, we know there's plenty of people that listen in, tune in, and they may have never done a pledge before, but we encourage them to do it for their first time. And if you've done it before, please please continue to do it again. We need your support. We don't survive without you. And, you know, we thank you always from the bottom of our hearts for your continued support. And, you know, public radio and with public TV, there's a lot of great programming to be offered. So, you know, there's choices, whether it's this show, the sports show, the news, or the classical music, or some of the other streaming shows, you know, the jazz show or their folk show. You know, whatever the case is, whatever you like. You know,
yeah, a lot of options.
A lot of options. So, you know, if you like it, just pledge it. Whatever amount you can give, we greatly appreciate it. So, yeah.
And give us a call once again, 353-5000. That's 353-5000 or 432-9527, area code 517, and pledge your support to WKR. You can call our toll free line to make a pledge at 877-9527-870. You can do that as well. But we really appreciate your help right here at AM 870. WKR. Hopefully you've been listening. I've had people tell me they've been listening to me as long as I've been on this station. So, boy, I say that means you go back a long time, a long way. So let me see if it tests people's memories. If you know, when I first came to WKR, I did a program called Taking Care of Business. Now, if you were back there listening to that program, the Taking Care of Business show, I'd ask you to send in a pledge for all the old members who miss. Remember when Earl Robinson did the program, Taking Care of Business show. And if you do, call in and send us a pledge right here at AM 870 WKAR. That was a long time ago, so that, you know what that means. That means you're probably pretty close to being as old as I am. Pretty close to it. You might not be as old as I am, but hey, if you're in their area, if you can remember the Taking Care of Business show, we'd like for you to send us a pledge right here at AM 870 WKR. 353-5000 right here at AM 870 WKR or 432-9527. Call in and pledge your support to AM 870 WKR. And we got to talk a little bit of basketball. And boy, the Pistons got blew out last night, didn't they? They got embarrassed, and some other teams got embarrassed. But and the poor Charlotte Hornets, they'll be lucky if they win three or four more games. I mean, they might not get to 10 games. It's a shame. That's the thing with basketball. Might makes right. And so we'll look at the rest of basketball playoffs. But, you know, I'm excited about the NHL. The hockey playoffs are the greatest. There's just nothing like the NHL playoffs.
No, there's not. I mean, it's just you compare the regular season to the NHL playoffs. It's almost night and day. The energy,
yes.
You know, almost after every whistle that someone just is getting in someone's face just for no reason. But it's just awesome to see. So there's a whole another energy level with as far as the NHL playoffs are concerned. And, you know, obviously Detroit's going to be playing Nashville here. So there's a lot of to be said about that series.
And a lot of people don't think that the Wings can win it because, you know, they've done so well over the years, but they weren't that strong at home this year, but they still had a pretty good record, and I think they're going to win this record. I know a lot of people disagree with me and think that the Wings will go down this year, but we'll see. Yeah, we'll see. It's going to be a good series, a seven-game series with the Predators, and we'll just see how the Wings do against them.
Yeah, you know, they weren't that good on the road, but obviously they were good at home. They actually had a losing road record, which is, you know, they're not used to that. But, you know, they've been banged up. There's still a lot of guys that aren't 100%. Obviously, Howard isn't. Helm, they're not expecting him earliest to be back is maybe the third game. You know, obviously the two first games are on the road. Nashville is a good team. It does help that they've played each other. They're in the same division, so I guess it helps that they know each other pretty well. So that definitely helps the Wings. I see this series probably going to 6-7 games. Detroit's really going to have to step it up. You know, the guys aren't 100%. And as I said earlier, the playoffs are, you know, there's so much more energy, so they're going to have to really step it up and kind of work through some of those injuries, especially Lindstrom. I know his ankle is still bruised a little bit, so he's not even 100%. So he can't really play fully at 100%, but he's so good that him not being at 100% probably is still better than a lot of the defensemen in the league. But Nashville's got some great defensemen, some big, really big guys. It's going to be interesting to see. And then Howard, you know, he's really going to – I feel like he's going to almost have to steal this for the Wings a little bit. He's going to have to be top-notch. If he's off his game a little bit, I really don't see the Wings pulling this off. But even if they do win this series, I really don't see them going far in the playoffs. They're just too banged up. They're not 100%, and it doesn't help that they're going into the playoffs. You can't really heal up in the playoffs.
That's true.
You can't do that. If you were in midseason, maybe you could rest some of these guys, call some people up from the minors, but you just can't do that here in the playoffs. You got to give it your all. So we'll see how it plays out. I expect a tough series, but I do give the edge to the Wings slightly. But you never know. It's going to be a really good series, and I'm looking forward to it.
Okay. Well, one thing we do know, that the Detroit Tigers have a long way to go before they reach the playoffs. They're 3-0. They're off to a good start. They might win this division. A lot of us think that, but the pitchers are already hurting and going down. Do you see that the Tigers can play through the injuries that they have right now, and it's just 3 games into the season?
Yeah, I think they can. They're the kind of team where, as we saw the other, especially on Sunday, they're the kind of team that if they're down, they have the firepower to come back. Certain teams don't have that. So they do have that, where they have the offensive power. Obviously, we know that it's probably the best lineup in the whole league. So if they're down, they have the fire to do that. But, yeah, the pitching, it's always been a problem. It's never been, 100%. I would say that's probably been a lot of problem for a lot of teams, but especially for the Tigers. Right now, they're currently playing, obviously, Tampa Bay right now. It's just to give you an update on the score. It's the bottom of the third. Detroit's up the bat. Tampa Bay's up 1-0 right now. Not much going on, but Tampa Bay is up 1-0. But like I said, with the firepower they have, they can make comebacks. It's early in the season. I know people are making predictions already, we all know that the MLB is kind of a first half season, second half season. Some people are great in the first half, and then after the All-Star break week, second half, they go off the deep end, or vice versa. So I expect, though, Detroit to win the division. They just have too much firepower, assuming they stay healthy. What was the pitcher? I'm drawing a blank.
Fister.
Yeah, Fister, that obviously just got put on the 15-day disabled list, but yeah. DL. But, so that'll hurt him a little bit. But luckily it's early in the season, so it's a long season. I don't like to make huge predictions as far as baseball is concerned until you kind of actually warm up a little bit. Today is a rather cold day to be playing in Detroit. We'll have to wait and see how things play out. I'll ask me again, maybe next month, as teams kind of get into their season mode and see where everyone's at.
Well, one guy who's in basically mid-season form, hot water mid-season form, Ozzie Guillen. Boy, he stepped into it deeply when he started talking about Fidel Castro down there in Havana. In Havana, and him being he's a Latin American, but he's not from Cuban. And boy, he's insulted a lot of Cubans. He got a 5-game suspension today, which wasn't surprising. And he's being very conciliatory and very apologetic, which he probably should be. That's for sure. But I don't think I don't think he had just understood what the backlash he's caused from his statements.
Yeah, and I don't think he has either. I was listening to Jim Rome coming in today, and that's exactly what he was talking about. And obviously Jim Rome was going off on him. But I don't know where his mind's at with that. And he's an odd one to place. There's certain things he does. You just scratch your head and you wonder what he's doing. We'll see how it pans out. It's a 5-game suspension. It's early in the season, so life will go on for the White Sox. It is what it is, I suppose. I guess no one's surprised by his actions. He's done these kind of things before, so it's not like this is new for him, new territory. Obviously, he shouldn't be doing what he's doing, saying those things, but I guess everyone's probably going to move on, and just life will go on for the White Sox and the rest of the baseball world, because it's Ozzie Guillen.
Well, Did you get a chance to see the Masters? The Masters and how it ended up? It ended up quite well. They're saying the Masters ratings were off 22%, one of the lowest ratings they've had in years, overnight ratings. And so, you know, the Masters is still a big draw. But, boy, if the ratings are off that much, it means, you know, they need Tiger to, guess, finish up there near the top. And that he's one of the big draws for many years. And with him not being near the top of the leaderboard, I guess that's hurt the Masters and how many people watch the program.
Yeah, I mean they've proven that 100. I don't know how many times they've proven it. If Tiger isn't at the top, you know, competing for the championship, their ratings plummet. When he's at the top, bam, they skyrocket. It's as simple as that, and they've proven that throughout the years. You know, obviously Bubba Watson, he's got a great following. A lot of people love him, but he's not Tiger Woods for whatever reason. You know, obviously Tiger, people love to see someone on a, you know, huge winning streak. That's what Tiger was doing. He was winning a lot.
Yes.
People attracted that. It's kind of like when a team, you know, jumps on the so-called bandwagon. You know, I feel like that's kind of what, you know, Tiger is in a certain degree. When he's winning, when he's on fire, people love to watch him. When he's not, well, it's like, well, he's not on the top, I'm not going to watch golf. So not to say that there aren't obviously a lot of golf fans, but it just, the sport needs him. It just isn't the same without him. And obviously the TV ratings suffer because of it, which is unfortunate because golf's a great game. But, you know, maybe someone else will come along like Bubba Watson. You know, it's too bad if that Phil Mickelson couldn't be right up there at the top. But, you know, he had a few bad holes there. So I think if maybe he was competing for it, maybe the ratings would have been a little bit better. But he was at first, but then he kind of, you know, lost it there at the end. So it is what it is, and unfortunately, golf needs Tiger, and
yes,
Tiger's not producing as they would wish him to do.
And you know, Tiger just isn't the Tiger of old. I mean, no one is scared of him anymore. You know, the young guns coming on the pro tour today, they just go out there, they play. They don't give a heck about Tiger Woods and his how good he used to be. You know, he was good 10 years ago. To those young guys on the course today, they're out there playing. He's probably basically an old man who can't play consistent golf, and that's what he's doing. He can't play consistent golf anymore. So unless he can somehow put together a good round someday, but you know he can't do it consistently anymore.
Right, and that's the problem. You know, Tiger was such in a comfort zone for so many years, winning and just enjoying his life. Obviously, enjoying his life a little too much. You know, when you're in that zone as a golfer, and then you know these things come about, and the media finds out about it, and then you have to, you know, tell everyone what happened, and all these people that follow you, it is going to take years to get back to where you were. Now, I do believe that he is back in good form. However, I don't believe that he's going to be, like you said, I don't think he's going to be winning on a consistent basis. But I do believe he will start winning more and more. That will get him back to a consistent basis. I don't even remember how long it's been since the scandal broke about, but
you know, 3 years ago.
3 years ago. Wow, it's been that long. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you know, it's. I mean, he's just now getting back to his form. I think we're gonna start seeing more and more wins from him. But some of these bigger championships, like you said, people aren't intimidated by him anymore.
No.
They know that what he's been through. And frankly, I think Tiger is a little intimidated by these other people because he knows that. So you know, which is a good competition, but like we said before, golf needs him to be at the top, and if he's not, ratings hurt, and the sport hurts. So maybe he'll just come back one day and start going on a tear, and he'll forget everything that happened. But that probably won't happen.
No, that'll be pretty hard for that to happen. But hey, it's almost time for us to go. But first off, we got to tell you, you can give us a call right now, pledge your support, become a member of the WKAR family. 353-5000, 353-5000, area code 517, or you can call us at 877-927-8070. Call and pledge your support, become a member of the WKAR family. We certainly want you to join us and show us how much you like and appreciate everything we do here at WKAR. This is your station. It is. It's not our station. It's your station. And we want to hear how much you love and appreciate the station that you've built here at WKAR. So give us a call. Pledge your support to WKAR. You've been listening to Michigan State University Radio. AM 870, WKAR East Lansing. Remember, we come your way Monday through Friday from 105 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. If you've never called us before, we invite you to become a first-time caller. Join us in the afternoons. Call us and talk sports right here on AM 870, WKAR. We want you to have yourself a very safe and pleasant evening. We'll see you tomorrow right here on AM 870, WKAR East Lansing.
Thanks for listening to Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR.